Steve Douglas, speaking on Managing Yourself.
I've got a picture in my mind of what's going to happen to you next year if you don't look out. You probably have never seen the gift of prophecy exercise. Well, I've got a picture in my mind of what could happen to you. You go out from this management training and from the staff training with how to plan and your job description and everything tucked under your arm and the transferable concepts, and you set them down on your desk. And I'll be doggone if the first weekend back your in-laws don't show up. Well, you spend the weekend and you spend an extra Monday and a Tuesday, and I mean, peace in the family. Who can argue with that? But old Sam, senior staff man, didn't have his training session with you on Monday. Oh, yeah, about 2 weeks later, you get a call from a little teeny church about 100 miles away. Isn't near any of your campuses. It's a busy weekend for you, but preaching the word, who can argue with that? So you go out there. You get about 20 miles into the trip, and you discover that you forgot your notes. So you run back, get those, and by the time you get out there and get ready to preach, you lift up your arm for your first point and you pull it back down again. You realize how worked up you are. Of course, on the way back, your car broke down. Made a 2-day trip out of it, and I'll be doggone if senior staff man didn't miss his training session with you on Monday again. About 2 weeks later, somebody recommends a book to you that has got to be the best book you have ever read. Spent the whole day looking into it. Good book, good. Forgot that meeting with Sam again. He waited an hour and left. Well, so it goes, busier and busier, until finally all of your plans and everything else gets buried in this big pile of correspondence on your desk. The phrase job description is sort of a misty memory from the summer. You're much too busy getting things done to be worried about all of these things. What I'd like to talk about this morning is how to manage yourself. How to manage yourself. We've learned to manage others in the course of this week, and now we want to learn how to manage ourselves. How do you handle those have-tos? What do you do when pressing points pop up? How should you invest your time? Let's pray. Father, teach us to be good stewards of what you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. What is time? Let's turn to a passage in Scripture that you maybe have heard before, but I think it's terribly illustrating of what time is. It's in Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rent, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And I'd like to skip down to verse 17. For he has appointed us a time for every manner and every work. He has appointed us a time for every matter and for every work. Where has the time gone? Is that a familiar phrase? I don't have the time. Is that another familiar phrase? You know what that really means, don't you? I didn't get as much accomplished in the time that was available. I didn't set my priorities up such that I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. That's what it means. You see, time passes at the same rate for everyone. And it's got a strange characteristic. You can't stop time. You can't stop time. We must either learn to invest it wisely or invest it unwisely. But invest it, we will. As I was thinking and praying about this talk, it just so happened I was listening to some background music. And strangely enough, just as I got to this point, a song came on by Ian and Sylvia. Those of you who are the Canadians in the group will recognize the name, or if you're from the Northeast. And they sing this song. And the seasons, they go round and round. And the pink ponies, they go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return. We can only look. Captives on the carousel of time. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? You know, it's a lot like manna, time is. There's enough there every morning to see you through the day, but don't try to store it. But the next morning, there's enough there again. A lot of you were football players, probably, either in high school and many in college. And it's just the opposite of football. I'll never forget when we'd get one of our players injured on the football team. Time out. Stop. And they'd stop the clock and they'd take the guy off the field or minister to him or whatever it is that he needed. And then he'd get back up and he'd start playing again. Well, then start the clock again. Let's go. But you see, for us, it's not like that. Time can't be stopped. Well, what's the problem here? We just talked about what are we talking about in managing ourselves. What is time? But why manage yourself? Why manage yourself? I think most of us would agree that we don't spend our time as well as we could. Usually there are more things to do than time available. More things to do than time available. Maybe you recognize this situation as you get out on the campus. You won't have time to do every single thing that you want to do or could do. Run an experiment sometime. Keep track in one column of all that you plan to do in a day or a week or something. And then write down alongside of it what you did. You'll be amazed. I was amazed. You probably won't have accomplished all that you thought that you would have accomplished. Now, there's a law that somebody by the name of Parkinson came up with. It says work expands to fill the time available. Work expands to fill the time available. The results of recent time studies tell us that most people work too long, don't get enough done, and do a lot that other people could have done. Work too long, don't get enough done, and do a lot that someone else could be done, or perhaps didn't even need to be done at all. We are indeed a beat generation. You know, there's another reason, though, that we ought to manage ourselves. Not only are we inefficient in the generation in which we live, but as Christians, we have an obligation. You remember this slide from the planning day. We are stewards of what the Lord has given us. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and generally people stop it right about there, and all these things will be added on. Well, what do we do with all those things that are added on? We're stewards over them, that's what. We're stewards over the things that God causes us to be responsible for. I reminded you on Monday in Matthew 25 that there's the parable of the talents. And that's the point that's being made, among others, in the parable of the talents. In Colossians 4:5, it says, make the best possible use of your time. You know, that's the same original words as in Ephesians 5:16, which Dr. Hendricks mentioned yesterday morning. And it literally means, buy up for yourself the opportunity. Buy up for yourself the opportunity. John Wesley, as was noted before this week, was well known for his organization, his time management. He had a daily schedule, and he had specific times for prayer. Yes, we know as Christians, as it says in Ecclesiastes, that there is a time for every matter and every work. God gives us time for every matter and every work that he intends. You see, we are managing his time. We are managing his time. All right? We've talked about what it is to manage yourself in this unique characteristic of the word and the concept of time. Secondly, we talked about why it is we ought to manage ourselves. How about talking about some principles of managing ourselves? I guess that would be the next logical step. Roman numeral 3 then, some principles of managing yourself. Principles of managing yourself. 1. Get planning ahead of firefighting. Get planning ahead of firefighting. You remember this slide from the planning day? We have a natural emphasis to fight the little problem fires that come up. Well, one of the ways to prevent that is to take that out of the closet and use it. Get planning ahead of firefighting. You know, there's a story of several businessmen who passed an empty lot on the way to work. And each of them noted it, but one by one as they went by, they forgot about it as they got lost in the affairs of the day. But one businessman noted it as he went by, and when he got into the office, he told his secretary to hold all calls. He cleared his desk of all the activities that he had, and he worked up a specific opportunity, a specific way to use this lot, and made thousands and thousands of dollars off of the opportunity that he thought up. Now, what was the difference between this businessman and others? He was willing to put a little planning ahead of the activities that were pressing on him for the day. And he recognized an opportunity, recognized it as important, and pursued it. So get planning ahead of firefighting. You know, something you probably would be willing to conclude by now is that complex activities require some thinking ahead. And so you can see that planning before as a priority over fighting problems is important, and it'll get you out of many of the future fires that you have. Get planning ahead of firefighting. Principle 2. Continually compare what you are doing in light of your objectives. Continually compare what you are doing in light of your objectives. Of course, if you don't have an objective because you haven't planned, this is a difficult procedure. But what this little fellow is doing here is he's examining one of his activities in his hand, and he's saying, does that fit in an ordered way toward where I want to go and where God has impressed me that I should go? Does it fit in? That's what he's saying. You ought to ask yourself, why am I doing this? As you're about ready to do something, just ask yourself, make it a habit. Why am I doing this? Does it have a point? Is it getting me closer to the objective? You see, you want results, not activity. You want results, not activity. Business, not busyness. In the campus ministry for this year, you will have a set of objectives of what you want to accomplish. And so it's not a difficult matter for you to look at those objectives and look at what you have in your hand, that is to say, what you are about to do as an activity, and ask yourself if it contributes to these objectives. Third principle. First of all, planning ahead of firefighting. Secondly, continually compare what you're doing in the light of your objectives. And three, don't confuse the urgent with the important. Don't confuse the urgent with the important. There's a famous man one time who, upon seeing his desk deluged with letters, put them all in a drawer. All of them. Cleared his desk and went on to other things, figuring that the important things would probably have somebody behind it who would be getting a little concerned about his lack of answer and who would call him up or contact him again. I hope Bruce Bunner isn't in here. I'm not recommending that procedure, you understand. I'm just saying that illustrates the point that there are things that can seem pressing but not really be important. And sure enough, the important things drifted to the top for this man. President Eisenhower found that the urgent was seldom important, and the important was seldom urgent. The urgent is seldom important, and the important is seldom urgent. Point four, concentrate on the important. Point four, concentrate on the important. You remember this little slide that Bruce showed you yesterday? The instinct for the jugular. That cat is diving at what he knows is the most crucial spot on that person, for his throat. Now, it may seem like a gruesome example, but I think it makes the point that we need to dive at the most crucial parts of our job and do those first. Concentrate on those, even at the expense of other things. Because if you don't get things done, you want to have not done the unimportant things and have done the important ones. So concentrate on the important. And you may find it useful to pool your time into long enough periods such that you can do a task uninterrupted and put in, gain momentum in your thinking. I'm reminded sometimes in my office, I'll be on the verge of a thought. Yes, on the verge of a thought. And someone will walk in. There it went, out the window. I don't know what it was. I didn't write it down. It's important, if you're going to want to do some thinking and accumulate time in that process, to be able to pool enough time to gain momentum in it. Recognize that there'll be trade-offs in your time. What is more strategic is a question you can be asking yourself. And remember, as it's been mentioned, I believe, a couple of times before, the good is the enemy of the best. You know, it's interesting that in Luke 12, the Lord's criticism of the wealthy man, you remember the wealthy man that said he was going to build a bigger barn and store up all this grain and really have at it for the rest of his life because he was set up? You know what his criticism was? It's that he concentrated on the wrong thing. You see, that passage ends, "Seek ye first the kingdom, and then these things will come along. Don't worry about them first. Worry about the kingdom first." Well, Christ is illustrating this principle. First things first. Okay, we've talked about principles of managing yourself, let's talk about how to do it. I'd like to hand out some 3 pages of how-tos on this subject, because I'm going to go through them more rapidly than you could take notes right now. I wonder if we could get the first person in each row here to grab one, and then could we have one from each of those sections? Dan Hayes, would you do that for me? And maybe Drew Ramsey, could you? What I want you to think about as you listen, and as we read through this handout, is that people at all levels can learn how to manage their time. They may not need to know how to organize, because they may not have anybody under them, but they've got at least one person whose time they can manage. Okay, let's look at it. The subject is how to manage your time, which is a large fraction of how to manage yourself. And if we get this one down, we'll be a distance toward the final goal. How to manage your time is the title of the handout. And as I mentioned before, this is something you can teach to other people. And I think you'll find that the handout is in a prosy enough form that you can just take it as an outline and teach it. All right, what's the first part? First part is schedule your week. And just to get us in perspective here, the second part is follow your schedule each day. So schedule your week and then follow it each day. But now we have a greater level of detail in scheduling your week. And I want to pass through it quickly so you understand the procedure that's involved, and then we'll go into more detail, and then we'll consider an example. In scheduling your week, you'll notice that there are 6 activities. First of all, plan during the previous week. I guess that sort of stands on its own. You won't get much use out of Sunday if you wait till Monday to plan. 2, list potential activities. What is it that I could do this week? 3, ask if each activity is necessary. So now that I have this list and I'm looking forward to this week, I pass through and say, do I really have to do this, or does it have to be done at all? That's the question I'm asking. Is it necessary? 4, ask if each activity is assignable to someone else. The first question you asked was, is it necessary? The second question is, do I have to do it, or could somebody else do it? 5, you've got a list now of remaining activities. You've taken care of the rest of them. Remaining activities that you should do and that are necessary. Next, you assess priority of those remaining activities. You pick the most important one, the second most important one, and you go on down the line. So we have a list pared down, and we're ranking them in order of priority. And finally, when I have that ranking, I fill in my weekly schedule. I fill in my weekly schedule. Let's go back over it in detail now. Plan during the previous week. This would be a time of prayer, asking God's guidance for the next week, and of thinking over what this week should be. And you need to set aside that time, and that should be a very high priority, because it's going to open up more avenues of time for you to do other things. 2, list potential activities. Now, there are several points under here, and I want you to get the picture more than read through all the detail right now. There's some things we sure don't want to leave out, and it's been stressed more than once in this week. Time with God, time with your family, time for personal well-being. And in here I visualize, you know, meals, relaxation, time in personal evangelism. That would be a minimum kind of activity for personal well-being. Time to plan the following week, as I mentioned before. And from your yearly calendar, remember the yearly calendar, the big one? There you can get many of the most important activities with regard to Crusade that you will be doing. Hopefully most. From your 7-star, you may have other commitments. You said to so-and-so you were going to meet him this next week, and you set a time. That may not be on your yearly calendar. From your standard of performance, there may be additional major activities you haven't entered onto the planning sheet. Well, do you get the picture where we're going here? We're looking at every conceivable calendar that would have a bearing on your next week, and we're saying, get it out in front of you right now, because now's when you're going to figure out when it's going to fit in. So get all the calendars out. In fact, your secretary may have a calendar on you. And there's one little item called I there. Well, I don't want to dwell on it today, but I just want to mention it. And I think it comes so appropriately after what Dr. Hendricks has said to us this morning. from your personal objectives, if you have them, what things should you be doing this week? For example, are you trying to see improvement in certain areas of your life? If so, are you going to do anything this week about it? Someday I hope we can talk a lot more about that, about setting objectives in addition to the ones for your work. All right, number three. Ask if each activity is necessary. In other words, why am I doing this? Why is it being done at all? Remember that little fellow with that activity in his hand looking at that objective? That's what you're asking. You know, does this contribute to the objective? If it doesn't, is it even necessary? Remember that there is a tyranny of urgent-seeming things. There's just going to be like a water out of a fire hose of things that you could do. And you need to really be discriminating. Look for a committee that you don't need to go to. Maybe you can just get with one person. Maybe you can write up what your part of it would be if it's for a resource and hand it to them, and that's what they need. How many agonizing committee meetings have you been in where you really weren't needed? I've been in a million of them, I'll bet. Look for traditional things that last beyond their purpose. Are there any skeletons in your schedule closet? Are there things that are lasting on and on that you don't need to do anymore? That's what you want to look for. So ask if it's necessary. Be scrutinizing. Item four, ask if each activity is assignable to someone else. Ask if each activity is assignable to someone else. Many things that you do could be done by others, as pointed out. For example, you may not be as indispensable as you think at certain meetings. In fact, you may not be as indispensable as you think. One example would be correspondence. I don't know if it's ever occurred to you, probably has by now, getting into a position of leadership and having all the correspondence that you do, but you may not have to open every single letter that comes to you. A lot of them can be opened by someone else. Well, that's one obvious example where somebody else can do something that you might think you would have to do. Now, you need to think about some things as you do this. Be sure to give adequate instruction when a person's assigned. Be sure if follow-up is needed in the activity that you've provided for that, you don't just abdicate it. I call that the pendulum effect, from no delegation to abdication. Okay, number five, assess the priority of remaining activities. Assess the priority of remaining activities. In other words, what is some adequate amount of time for an activity, and what is its priority? And then if there's additional time that is sort of low priority, you might make that a specific separate item. We'll have an example today that will illustrate that. I think that's an important point. But you need to assess what would be the priority of some adequate amount of time to accomplish an activity. Recognize that some priorities are top. Time with God, time with family, time for personal well-being. You see, you don't have a long-run ministry if you neglect these. And it sure is easy for these to be sort of squeezed out as this Parkinson's law begins to operate and this work begins to expand to fill the time available. But these are exactly the ones you don't want to get squeezed out. As you rank the rest, try to think of how important this activity is toward accomplishing your objectives and how important it is to do it this week. So this is the question, this is the scrutiny you're putting to each activity in ranking it. Okay, finally, fill in your weekly schedule. Fill in your weekly schedule. I suggest a procedure here that will eliminate as many conflicts as possible. Start by putting a dotted line around the time required for already committed to appointments. If you think you might be including that activity and it does have a definite time to it, you need to put a dotted line around that spot and reserve it if you can. Then in the order of priority, enter the items from the list onto the schedule. You go with number one, then you put in number two, then you put in number three, and so on down the list until finally you have very little time left in every day. And I suggest leaving a minimum of about an hour slack time till the last minute because unexpected things do come up and we want this to be realistic. In other words, schedule yourself up to about an hour left in every day, and you may discover a different amount of time for you as you plan. confirm the dotted line appointments when they come up in the priority list. So in other words, as you finally come up to priority number 7, which was a team meeting on Wednesday evening, you fill it in and you say, this is confirmed, I'm now going to do that team meeting this week. Be sure to allow enough travel time and all sorts of other things that would be details until you got to the time and discovered you hadn't done it. Now keep this list around. You may leave some undone this week and want to preserve that to be added to the priority list for next week. All right, what do you do each day? We just talked about the first part of how to manage your time, and that is to schedule your week. You've been thinking up until now. Guess where you have to do it? Every day. Every day. You got to go out and follow that schedule, and here's what I suggest. Look each evening to see what you've planned to do the next day. If new potential activities for the next day have arisen, displace planned activities only if new activities are a higher priority. Here comes that little old lady that wants you to speak the next day. Panic call. Need a speaker. Well, you don't all of a sudden just throw the whole thing out the window and go speak. You ask her if you could call her back. You sit down and you say, now, what do I have planned for this next day? And what do I have planned for the rest of the week? And is this activity, and I'm thinking about it, as important as the other things I have scheduled? And if it isn't, well, you hate to break her heart, but you're just not going to be able to speak, that's all. You want to do the important things. Concentrate on the important things. Learn to say no, as we were told yesterday. Learn to say no. So during the next day, after you put in additional activities, if they are warranted, you follow the schedule. Follow the schedule. This is where the discipline comes. And then there's a couple of last points here that are awfully important. We're always sensitive to God's leading. And He may lead us to spend time in a way that we haven't scheduled. He's been leading us in the plan as well, but He may lead us to spend time differently. And we always need to be open to that possibility. A very important item can come up on the spur of the moment. And even if you thought more about it, you would realize this is what I ought to do for this moment. And scheduling doesn't negate that effect. Just distinguish between what's important and what isn't important that comes up. And if you don't get something done on that day that you had hoped to get done, think about it for the next day. Think about it for the next week. You haven't lost it just because you didn't do it. Don't get under the pile. Just keep it on the list. Suppose your car breaks down, for example, and displaces a whole afternoon of thinking about that retreat. And you know, if you don't think about that retreat by Saturday, you're not going to have anything to tell your master action group. Well, tomorrow you had some other activities scheduled, but none of them are quite as important as this one. So your car broke down, it's something you couldn't do anything about. You've displaced an important activity to the next day. But you see, all that is consistent. You're still keeping in your mind what's the most important, what gets me toward my objective. I'd like to work an example. Picture yourself, if you will, as a campus director on October 17th, 1970. It's a lot to swallow at one time. Picture yourself as a campus director on October 17th, 1970. Here is sort of an excerpt from that yearly planning calendar we handed out. You remember that one? With the Sundays of the week marked out. We just took a little snapshot here, and we haven't listed all the different activities that he may be doing. I've just picked a few. You see, I want to demonstrate the principles to you as we go through this example. And the few that I picked out are this. First of all, he has scheduled, in the week that follows October 17th, do you see where we are here? October 17th. In the week that follows, he has a team meeting at a Greek house, which is already set up. He scheduled some time to think about the fall retreat, which is coming up. He scheduled some time in these 2 weeks, and I've noted here 8 hours, in case you can't read it, of just a guess as to how long for planning ought to be spent. And he's got an activity called train staff, which seems to extend throughout the entire year. So sometime during this week, he's going to have some activity concerning training staff. Well, these are just three. Not all the activities, just three. But let's take those and see how we'd work with them to create a schedule for our week. All right. planned during the previous week. I'm on October 17th. I'm in. October 17th is before. All right. What's the second one? Anybody remember what the second one is? Better list, huh? Okay, let's list our potential activities. Well, I'm going to quickly create a list. Now, you remember from that part of the handout, time with God, with family, personal well-being, and in that, I want to make sure you understand what I'm including. Sleep, meals, a minimum amount of relaxation. It's not suggesting that it ought to be a minimum amount. This is where you put in your guarantee. Some amount of personal evangelism. It might be of interest to you why I'm putting it in that section, that you ought to have at least a minimum amount of personal evangelism. Planning for the following week. For next week. A team meeting. Remember that from the calendar? You see where I'm taking it? That was right off my calendar now. That team meeting. And it happens, it's Monday from 6 to 9. Team meeting. And that's Monday 6 to 9. And that includes time, gathering the staff together, having a little prayer before going, eating the meal, having the team meeting, and getting back. That's what I'm talking about in that period of time. Planning that retreat. Training staff. Just put a little more detail on that. I've got three people that I'm training. With each one, I ought to spend 2 hours during the week, let's say. You'll have set up whatever it is you want to do, and I need 1 hour of preparation. So that's what I've got to account for in that operation. Is that being clear? In order to train staff, I feel a minimum I have to spend 2 hours with each person, and I'm going to need at least 1 hour in preparation, all total, to look over the training materials and whatnot. You may disagree with the details. The important thing is follow me through on the principles. All right, businessmen. I've got a tentative appointment to see some businessmen, and these are key businessmen to my campus. These are key men supporting what's going on in this campus. And it's from 12 to 2 on Thursday. 12 to 2 on Thursday. All right, a pastor called up, from my secretary tells me. And he tentatively wanted to set aside Friday from 10 to 11. Now, what I want to emphasize here is this is not an urgent thing for me to get together with this fellow. And he set a tentative appointment, so I'm going to indicate that by a question mark. All right, lady just called up, said she needs two speakers for a local women's group. And it's a reasonably influential women's group. Speakers. Is there any women's group that isn't influential, I guess, huh? Women's group. Need two speakers. All right. I've also got a secondary action group. And for those in the lay ministry, that's an action group after, not one that you're leading yourself, but it's one that a student's leading. And that's meeting at a certain time this week. Say Friday afternoon. But my student's quite capable of leading it. And my presence is marginal. All right, now let's suppose, I've listed several here, but let's suppose there are about nine other priorities on or list of activities on down the line. Do you get the picture now? Let's review this. I've taken a section of your handout that says list potential activities, and I said, okay, there's several that we always enter into the list. Time with God, time with family, time for personal well-being, time for planning for the next week. All right, then we took a look at our calendar, our yearly calendar. This one, right here. And we said, what activities enter onto my potential activities for this week? from the yearly calendar. Well, that team meeting enters on. The plan, the retreat, gets there. Train staff comes from that calendar. Where'd I get businessmen? Well, that guy called me up last week, and I put it in my 7-star. You see, you got to have your 7-star open. That's where I got this one. The key businessman called me up. All right? Where'd this one come from? My secretary's calendar. He called up the secretary, said, could you write down for Steve to see that I'd like to meet with him Friday if it's possible, but it may not be possible. Okay? So that's where that one came from. Speakers for women's group, that's off the secretary's calendar too. She called up your secretary. Secondary action group, that's something you know from your 7-star. You've had it written down. So you see all your calendars, whatever they are, and the fewer the better, incidentally. And if you had more things on your standard of performance that would bear on it that aren't in any of the calendars, whatever it is, just form a little pile over here and run quickly through them and make sure it gets down on this list. Have you got the picture? Everything I might do should be down on this list. So I got some 18 or 19 or however many, 17 activities down here with these 9 other ones that I'm not listing. All right, what's the next step? Ask if it's necessary. Is that right? Ask if it's necessary. Okay, I go down here. Time with God. Well, that's not much problem. Time with family. Time for personal well-being. Plan for the next week. All these are necessary. Let's go down. Team meeting. Well, if I'm going to evangelize this campus, that one sure is going to be necessary. Plan retreat. Train staff. My key responsibility for the year, probably. Train staff. Businessmen. These are key men. The pastor. I may not need to get with him this week, but it's a necessary activity. Speaker for the women's group. I may ponder on that one for a while, but I think it's something that we ought to do. She's asked us in, and I think it's necessary. Secondary action group. You know, that guy's been leading it really well lately. I've been going for the last 2-3 weeks helping him out. I'll bet you he could handle that by himself. Not necessary. If I don't show up, nothing different will happen. Okay? The secondary action group is going to go on, mind you. I'm not calling it unimportant. I'm just saying I don't have to be there. Is the point clear? The action group's important, but I don't have to be there. All right, let's go through and ask the next question. I prefer to get through the example. I think it's important. The next question is, can I assign it to someone else? Now, I distinguish this from what I just did here. This action group is already going on. He's leading it. I'm just attending. And I think to myself, it's not necessary. He's ready to handle it by himself. The next question I ask is, can I assign it to someone else? In a sense, I've already begun to assign that to someone else. Well, you'll go right through the list just the same, and you get down to the women's group, and you think to yourself, you know, I don't have to speak at that women's group. I could assign that to some other people. In fact, a staff member and a student would probably be just as effective as I am. So this one I'm going to assign. And what you ought to do right then is write down who you're going to assign it to, put it down on something you need to do right after you get through with this, call them up and follow it up. All right, so you're going to assign speaking to that women's group to a staff member and a student for the next week. All right, let's keep moving. What's the next step? Assess priorities, correct? Assess priorities. Now, what I want you to do is think not so much whether it be 4 or 5, but am I in the ballpark? All right, I'd like to suggest time with God as your number one priority for the week. I'd like to suggest time with your family as your number two priority. And personal well-being is 3. Now, let me demonstrate why I'm saying that. Each of these, if they aren't an ongoing thing, will cause you not to preserve your ministry. In other words, you can't separate them, as was said before. How about planning for the next week? I'm going to put it number 4 priority because of its importance in opening up the possibilities of doing other things. All right, what's number 5? Well, training staff is my most key responsibility. If I don't do anything else according to in the ministry, let's say this next year, if I train staff, let's say that's my understanding. I'm not either advocating or not. I'm just saying, let's say this is what you determine. Train staff. What's number 6? Well, if I'm going to evangelize that campus, team meetings probably be number 6. What about number 7? Boy, those businessmen are key, and they can't make it any other time. I better get them in here. about number 8? Well, I got to plan that retreat. That, and incidentally, all this time I'm reading down here the rest of these on the list, and I'm comparing it to that. So this is number 8 compared to all these too. I said, well, I don't have to do it all this week. 8 hours, but 8 hours doesn't give me enough discrimination to really determine what I need to do. You see, I need about 3 hours this week to line up certain things that have to start getting done. But that extra 5 could go elsewhere. So what I'm going to suggest to you is when you get into a situation like that, set aside 3 hours, high priority, number 8, and write down another priority, plan retreat, part 2, 5 hours. Okay, and that's going to have a lower priority. That doesn't even come close to this. You see what I did? I split out what I had to do this week and what was high priority from things that weren't. What's number 9? Well, I think we're probably right on down the list right now. Let's suppose 9 falls down into one of these. You're probably wondering why I left that pastor out. Remember I emphasized that he could get together with me at another time, and what am I asking myself? How does it contribute to my objectives, and does it have to be done this week? Well, that's something I know in my mind is very tentative and might be possible to do next week. In fact, would be probably better to be done next week. Here again, I am synthesizing a situation that you'd be in. I'm having to quickly tell you what things you would know in your mind as you're going through this. And whether it's 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, all these are going to get into the week. It's the one on down the line that aren't going to get into the week. So 1 or 2 either way isn't going to kill you. And when you get done, if you've left something out that you really felt was important, change it. Okay? Well, on down the line here, I assess speaking to that pastor is about number 15, let's say. And I assess this priority right here is number 19, if that adds. Doesn't make it 18 or whatever. All right, now all the other priorities are in here. Is that clear? There are other things that I'm not listing because we couldn't get through it if we did. All right, what's the next step? I've gone through planning. I'm in the previous week. I've listed the activities. I've asked if it's necessary. I've assigned things out that I think I can assign out. I've ranked by priority. Well, someday I'm going to have to get into the week, I guess, huh? Okay, let's look at this week. Quickly now. What's my number one priority? Time with the Lord. And let's say I take Dr. Hendrick's advice every single morning. This is when I spend my time with the Lord. You know, psychologists tell us that there are morning sleepers and there are evening sleepers, and there are some people I'm convinced are just plain sleepers. But if you happen to be an evening sleeper, the morning would be a good time for you to have your devotions. You know best when you have your devotions. This is the devotions for an evening sleeper. All right, time with family. I'm just going to quickly black this out, but let's suppose I plan on spending here on Sunday. Let's suppose I spend 2 evenings for sure with my family. Now, I may come up with others, but now, let's suppose I make it Friday evening, too. And let's suppose I make it Saturday starting at about noon. Not being a family man, just take this as an outsider's guess as to what you'd put in there, okay? You're going to put in other things, perhaps. All right, you schedule in that as your minimum to start out with. What about time for personal well-being? Well, I show myself going to midnight. I'm getting up at 6. That may not be too realistic. Why don't I shoot for getting to bed at around 11 o'clock? May not make it every night, but let's cut things off. Let's cut future activities off. Okay. What about meals? Well, I got to allow for meals here. I'm going to be with my family here, and I'm obviously going to have breakfast then. But let me allow some time for breakfast. Okay. What about lunch? Well, here again I'm with my family and I'm clearly going to have lunch with them, but I haven't allowed some time What did I forget to do? Anybody know? I didn't put my appointments in first, did I? Let's go back and do it. If I don't put the appointments in, what's going to happen right here? My key businessman, I won't have allowed for that meeting from 12 to 2. And what other appointments am I trying to get in? So a dotted line. If I confused anybody by going back, in other words, if I didn't enter my appointments in, I may not be scheduling around the right things. So let me start back at the beginning. I got a tentative one here. What else did I have tentatively? I had a tentative team meeting here. Right? And what else did I have? I wanted to see that pastor on Friday morning. Well, the reason I noticed it right here is because, you see, that's over lunch. So I know I've already got lunch in there. And I know I'm going to have lunch with my family here. So I've accounted for lunch. All right? Let me review. I first put in the appointed times, or should have. Then I started entering in the order of priority. With me? Okay. What's the, minimum time for relaxation. Well, many of you may have different ways of doing this, but I am going to put as an absolute minimum, I want on Sunday afternoon to spend a couple, 3 hours by myself. There may be other ways you choose to put in time for relaxation. What about personal evangelism? Well, as an absolute minimum, I want to spend these times in personal evangelism. This is for my spiritual health. I may do it with other people, and I may do it a lot of different ways, but that's a minimum. All right? What about time to plan for the previous week? Well, here's a good time. Plan for the next week. All right? That's number four. Well, I'm down to number five. What was number five? All I got is number five here. Train staff. That's it. I lost it under all the maze here. Train staff. All right, I need three 2-hour periods and 1 hour time of preparation. And guess what has to happen first? I got to prepare first. All right? Here's my preparation time. And here's old Sam. I've ignored Sam and that picturing myself next year just about enough. This is how I make sure I don't. All right, here's Carl. Okay. Where's Joe? Well, he's up here. So those are my times that I'm going to spend with him. You know, as I look at this, I bet I could spend lunch with Carl, couldn't I? Done two things at once. Just shifted that up into lunch, and I can spend part of that training time over lunch. And you're going to see a lot of examples of that as you do your schedule. All right, what's number six? Team meeting. Hooray, it's in. Okay, team meeting. What's number seven? Businessmen. They're in. Okay. What's number eight? Plan retreat for 3 hours. Where can I plan that retreat for 3 hours? Say right up here, okay? Okay. What's number nine? Are we on down the list? Yes. Have I included everything now off of your list that you have specifically enumerated? So we've just scheduled into the week. Plan for the week is right up here. Oh, yeah, I did leave one possibility out here, didn't I? In this case, dinner will be at the team meeting. Dinner will be with the family here and here. I need to leave time for dinner there.
How much time do you allow for planning?
I would suggest allowing, incidentally, about half an hour to 45 minutes to start out with when you plan your week. And you may discover you need to allow a lot more time than that. But as you get practiced at it, I don't think it'll be so hard. All right, now let's suppose I enter in all the other times with my other priorities as I go down the list. See what I'm doing? But I got to remember one thing. I got to leave about an hour free time somewhere during each day. Because if I don't, the schedule probably is going to get so packed or something will come up that it won't happen. Now, I'd be prepared to do something in that hour if nothing comes up, but I'm... I know my schedule. So I'm leaving an hour somewhere. But I haven't got something scheduled. Probably later the better. Although you'll be surprised at how many things you'll know about before. All right, is it clear where I've been? This is a lot to cover in just a few minutes, but I want to make it clear to you. We put in the order of put in the appointments first, and then put in the order of priority. But you know something? I didn't get to that pastor, and I didn't get to planning the other 5 hours in that retreat. But that's all right, because they're on my list for next week. All right, I hope this has been clear to you. We've just gone through the outline of how to schedule your week. It's a complicated kind of diagram to create, but do you get the picture that you enter it in the order of priority? Don't pack it too much. First things first, and if you leave something out, you at least know you've left the less important things out. Okay? Let's just summarize by realizing that what we're talking about in managing our time is a process where you need to balance sensitivity with stewardship. Sensitivity to the Lord's leading any instant with stewardship over the things that He's given us to do. And the Lord leads us both ways. You can't have one and not the other, but that's where we're balancing one against the other. And another way to think about it is we're asking for the Lord's wisdom in planning, and we're asking for His openness to His leading. Wisdom in planning and openness to His leading. And this is a device that you can use to accomplish that. And I won't go through right now, but the second part of what you would do during this week is in each day examine the activities of that day, see if there's anything new, and then do it. So that would be part B. Follow your schedule each day.